What's up? This movie's on up. Discussion episode. Movie set mostly in one location. Your fate is never sealed. I'm trapped here in one location with my co-host, Ryan.
Trapped in a closet?
Yeah, there's a reference to that later.
Yeah, there will be very
He's soon. Ryan. I'm Dave. This is, again, a discussion episode. This time we did a list of movies set mostly in one location. It'll be interesting to see how we both bend the rules a little bit. Tagline, your fate is never sealed. A little bit about our tagline contest. You can, if you know what that tagline is from, hit us up on Twitter at MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, MoviesOnUp.com, or MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. Let us know what that tagline is from. And if you're selected, you get a special Movies On Up prize package.
It will be special because they'll probably all be different depending on whatever I have laying around at my fingertips whenever I go to put the prize packages together.
This list was kind of thrown together late last week. I suggested it. What was your thought process going into the list?
My thought process was when I first got the text about taking place entirely in one house, no, I'm not doing that.
The original text was entirely in one location, but then I thought...
Oh, I don't think so.
No, it was. I'll read it. No,
go
my
ahead.
Phone's, I said...
I do.
I said, how about movies that take place in one location? And then I changed, because in my head I'm thinking, oh crap, spaceships make it too easy. So I said, how about in one house? And then you said, house, no. And then I thought, okay, malls. Okay, one location, not spaceships.
You said, in one location. That was the end of the first text. Or more specifically, one house.
Yes.
That was, they were right back to back. Without any kind of intervening
because
from me.
Because in between, there was the spaceship discussion going on in my head.
Okay, because I said I didn't want to do the house, but I'd be interested in one location because I wanted to do spaceships. And then you said that'd be too easy because it would involve spaceships.
That's I knew you were thinking spaceships.
But
because that's where my head went first.
Right, sure. But between episodes, I asked you, just off the top of your head, how many movies do you think I have on my list that have to do with spaceships?
None, but I made it
you
clear.
You said two, and I said, I don't have any.
I made
so
it clear that there was no spaceships, because you didn't commit to promising no spaceships.
Yeah.
Even after I laid it out, I'd rather, how about one location, no spaceships, and you said, I'm not going to promise no spaceships.
Right. And I wouldn't promise that then. It just so happened that things worked out, and I didn't put any spaceship movies on there.
Anyway,
so you're welcome.
These lists are going to be interesting. Because I think our thought processes might have been similar, but in a little bit. But before we get to that, you know what time it is?
You know what? I left my watch at home.
It's time for a bonuses. These are the top five movies with R. Kelly on the soundtrack. Number five, Too Fast, Too Furious. Number four, Shaft. Number three, Ali. Number two, Menace to Society. Number one, the obvious choice.
Sure.
Space Jam.
Yeah, I really can't argue with you.
His best song
those.
Was written for that movie. I Believe I Can Fly. Written for this movie. Originally released on this soundtrack. It was hard.
I believe you were right.
It was hard leaving off Gotham City off the Batman and Robin soundtrack. Because I believe that one was also written for that movie.
But you're going because you didn't like that movie. That's why you left. Not because you didn't like the song.
Yeah.
Right. Sure.
It was no bad dance.
We'll go with that.
But so onto our discussion, favorite movies set mostly in one location. Why I say mostly is because
why
I don't want to say a movie. I don't want to use an example because I don't want to spoil anything on your list. But
on my list, why did you point out my list?
Because I don't know what's on your list.
My
so if
movies
I, no, if I
generally
say,
do take place, almost all of them specifically. Predominantly in one location, not 100%, but
see,
like 90%.
That's kind of what I was coming from, is that I don't mean a movie like, see, I don't want to...
Buried.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's the I don't necessarily mean Buried, where it's one location. So I thought, okay, it could be Die Hard, where it's one building. So, you know, not necessarily one room. But then there's others on my list that aren't all in one location. There's stuff before you get there and maybe some stuff after. But the blunt of it is all in one spot.
Mine all take place on planet Earth.
So
that is the one location that they all take place in.
So let's just get to it. Enough dissecting this. What's your number five?
My number five is from 1944. That's a movie called Lifeboat that you know, may not ring any bells, but you may have heard of the director. It was a young Englishman by the name of Alfred Hitchcock, starring Tallulah Blankenhead, and they just don't make Tallulahs anymore. William Bendix and Walter Slezak. Not Slezak, Slezak. Essentially, a group of Americans and British folks get stuck on a lifeboat after the ship they were on gets sunk by a German. I think it was a U-boat. But so they're stuck out on this life raft in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and they start to get real, real distrustful of each other because they don't have any water. They have very, very little water, not a lot of food, and they don't know how long they're going to be out there with, of course, Nazis in the water. So they get really, it's very claustrophobic to begin with, and then that raft gets real, real small as we go on. So that's my number five.
Spoiler alert, is that your only Hitchcock on here?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so because I'll wait until you name others, but there's three off the top of my head that could be on there just from Hitchcock.
Sure.
I knew at least one of them would be on there. Lifeboat is the last one I would have expected.
That's why it's at my number five.
My number five, not very Hitchcockian. If you go back to the first year they did Eight Films to Die For, generally the eight films are pretty crappy, and I'd rather die than watch them. But the first year, there was one that stuck out to me, Penny Dreadful, starring Rachel Miner, who up until that point, I only knew her as the chick that married and divorced Macaulay Culkin by the time they were 18. Her car gets stuck between two trees, and then she's hunted by whatever it was. I thought it was cool. It was just her trapped in a car with this killer outside that couldn't necessarily get in, but she also couldn't get out. I thought Rachel Miner did awesome because it's basically just an hour and a half for her
reaction shots.
Terrified.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, there's other shots of elsewhere, but for the most part, I thought it was a solid claustrophobic horror movie because, okay, things in front of the hood, it ducks down. You can't look and see where it went. It could pop up anywhere. So I thought, you know, it's not suspenseful on a Hitchcockian level, but for what it was a cheaply made horror movie. I thought it was pretty good. I really did. And not just, it wasn't just good for Eight Films to Die For. I thought it was a legitimately good movie.
I think that the one location does lend itself to the horror genre because there is that feeling of claustrophobia. You're trapped in one location with whatever it is you don't want to be in there with. And I think that's kind of, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago when we were talking about, I want to say Alien for whatever reason. A couple movies that weren't as good. Creature, specifically that one. Because, you know, you're trapped on a spaceship. Well, you can't get out of it because you're in space. You'll die. And, you know, you stay in there with a monster, there's a good chance you're going to die too. So I think that it's the claustrophobia that space lends itself to that makes, you know, these movies that much better.
I said no spaceships. Something like Deep Star 6 or Leviathan or The Abyss could also fall into these categories, which I didn't even consider.
Right, they're not those, spaceships.
They're underwater spaceships, essentially. Right. So, but I didn't even consider those. But I didn't want to have a bunch of horror on mine.
Yeah.
My number five was combined. I almost combined it just to have both horrors. You don't happen to have any Canadian movies on your list, do you?
Canadian movies. This one, my number four might be.
Okay, go on with your four, because there is one I want to mention, and I do want to talk about it, but I don't want to spoil it if it's on your list.
Well, my number four is a recent vintage, much more recent than anything else I have on the list. It's from 2009. It's directed by Stuart Hazeldine. It was called Exam. He's not really done too much either before that or since then. Starring Natalie Cox, Luke Mulvey. Essentially, a group of strangers get together inside of a room when they think they're there for a job interview for some, you know, from some corporate job. They all need the job for different reasons, and that kind of gets explained in some flashbacks. And that takes place, obviously, outside of the room. But predominantly, they are stuck in this room for, I think it's an hour. They have to finish the test, this exam. And all they have is essentially a piece of paper, which they all find out is blank. they have no idea what the exam is. So essentially, they're all trying to figure out what the test is, what question they're supposed to answer. They're given three rules. They can't talk to, there's an armed guard in the room, can't talk to him. They can't talk to the guy that's kind of telling them what to do. And they're not allowed to soil their tests or spoil their tests, whatever. And the movie just, it starts pretty straightforward. And it devolves as the timer starts to run down into, you know, these people just going absolutely nuts, trying to do whatever they can to not only figure out what the hell they're supposed to be doing, but figure out how they can get this job. Because after everything, you know, it still, you know, becomes kind of a way out for all of them. And predominantly the movie does take place in the exam room, with the exception of some kind of flashbacks to find out how the characters got to where they were at.
Yeah, that one's not, just because I do want to touch on this movie that was tied for my number five, similar to Exam, where it's essentially in one room, Pontypool from a few years ago, starring Stephen McHattie as a radio DJ. He's doing the late night, early morning shift. It's just him, the engineer, and like an intern. And there happens to be a virus outbreak going on. So it's just them in this radio studio while this zombie-like outbreak is happening outside. And it's actually really cool, really well done. That was almost my number five. But my number four, The Ref. This is another one of those. There's a lot that takes place before you get to the house, and there's some stuff after the house. But the majority of the story is in the house on Christmas. It's Dennis Leary escapes from prison, or he robbing a bank, or robbing jewels or something, and ends up with Annette Bening and Kevin Spacey on the way to Christmas dinner. And it's just, I love this movie. This is when Dennis Leary, I was a big Dennis Leary fanboy in the mid to late 90s. That's when this movie was, because it's Annette Bening and Kevin Spacey is a married couple that hate each other. Their son's coming in who hates them. Family's coming in, and it's all Christmas dinner. So Dennis Leary has to play their marriage counselor as he's hiding from the law. It's just a lot of fun. It was just really, again, this is, I'm maybe playing loose with the rules, because it is, there is some stuff before and after, but the majority of the story, all in the house during Christmas dinner.
We just talked a little bit about Dennis Leary before getting on the podcast. He was cast as the Browns head coach in Draft Day, and that was one of the movies that they mentioned, like, oh, here's Dennis Leary's essential work. And it was The Ref. And I was like, yeah, okay. I didn't realize you had that on your list, though.
That was such a good, for what Dennis, that's one of those roles where it takes what he did the best. Because in that role, in that phase, Dennis Leary was just angry guy who just wanted to yell at people. And in this, that role, it fit the role perfectly. And Kevin Spacey and Annette Bening were awesome. It was just, it was kind of, it was like being stuck with a family that you hate.
Fair enough. Try being stuck with a dead person. That's essentially what happens in
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. And also 1948's Rope, also directed by Alfred Hitchcock, starring John Dahl, Fairley Granger, and Jimmy Stewart. It was originally based off a play, which is why, you know, they were able to get away with having essentially the entire movie, with the exception of a like one establishing shot at the beginning of it, takes place inside not just an apartment building, but a specific apartment, just one. And essentially, right at the top, these two friends kill their third friend and put him in a trunk and proceed to invite a bunch of other people over to have a house party. Another 80s movie. And the body's in the trunk this entire time. It's amazing, you know, how close, you know, people get to kind of just stumbling on when they're just looking for things at this, like, oh, I need a tablecloth or something. Oh, is there one in the trunk? No, definitely not. No, there's not a tablecloth or a dead body in there. So don't bother looking. But the way the movie was shot, like, it will go long periods, like 10 minutes or more, without any cuts at all. It's camera motion following characters as they, you know, exit the main apartment to go to the kitchen, and they'll follow them. So there are very few cuts. So, I mean, for the entire 10 minutes, I mean, that's one take that everything has to be done right. And if you look outside of the window, the apartment window, they actually have like sort of a mechanical sky, a clouds that change throughout the movie. And that was all built on a soundstage. So it was very, stage-like in its production and the way it was carried out. Hitchcock, I mean, the reason that it's not higher on my list is, you know, because he said that he kind of felt like it was an interesting idea that just didn't come off that well. I mean, I disagree. I think it's one of my favorite Hitchcock movies of all time. And it is, again, it's very suspenseful because you know in the first 2 minutes that these guys have committed a murder and you could legitimately see them getting away with it, but you can also see how close they are to getting caught. And it's just, it's kind of a tightrope act the whole way across.
You mentioned that it was based on a play. A lot of, when you start looking up things set in one location, a lot of them are play adaptations. Carmen Polanski had one a few years ago that almost made my list, Carnage, which set in the butt rapist.
Roman Polanski.
What'd I say?
Carmen
Polanski. Eh. Yeah, Carnage. But that was based on a play, so that's going to be a common theme. Where are we at, number three?
Yeah.
My number three... I like a crime movie. I like a kidnapping movie. Something like Suicide Kings fits that, but I went somewhere else. The Disappearance of Alice Creed. Gemma Arterton is kidnapped by Eddie Marzan and Martin Compson. And it's basically just her kidnapped in this apartment the whole time. And it's a really cool movie. She's really good in it. It's actually the first thing I've seen her in. It dates back to probably 2006 or 9 or something like that. But Disappearance of Alice Creed, it's just a really cool movie that is all in this little dingy apartment as they're trying to get ransom.
My next one, if there's one movie that really doesn't bend the rules at all, it would be this one from 1957. And really, I would say like my top three are all pretty much layups. I mean, if you've ever listened to this podcast, you know that I do kind of like classic movies. And these are kind of the three that would come up on almost any list of anybody that's seen a movie before 1984. And it's 12 Angry Men. Sidney Lumet directed, Henry Fonda, Lee J. Cobb, Jack Klugman, and Ed Begley. It is exactly, I mean, maybe it doesn't sound like it, but it is... 12 jurors are in jury deliberation over a murder trial. And essentially, if they vote guilty, then it's an automatic death penalty case. It was a Mexican kid that was accused of killing his dad. And the first vote they take starts out 11-1. There's one holdout. And really the only reason he votes not guilty is because he thinks it warrants some more discussion. Because if they all vote guilty, this kid, I mean, he's a teenager, relatively young teenager. I don't think maybe he was 18 because they were going to kill him. But if they vote guilty, they're going to kill him. So it becomes essentially these 12 men, you know, on an island deciding whether or not this kid lives or dies. And it takes place pretty much 100% inside the deliberation room. We couldn't do a movie like that today because it would just be boring.
Late 90s, Showtime made a remake of it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm remembering because that was actually the first one. I had a teacher that showed me that before I had seen the original.
That sucks. Your teacher's an idiot.
1997. I remember Jack Lemmon in it. Yeah, it was Jack Lemmon, George C. Scott.
And I like those guys. And they could have been around, and they were around in 57, but...
I mean...
This was such a good movie.
The cast from the 97 one was good, but it was Courtney B. Vance, Ossie Davis,
yeah.
George C. Scott, James Gandolfini, Tony Danza, Jack Lemmon.
Tony Danza.
Michael T. Williamson, Eddie James Olmos, William Peterson.
How did Tony Danza get in there?
That's an awesome cast, jeez. But it didn't carry the... as good as the first one.
Yeah.
And I mean, I actually have a list on my honorable mentions. It says left off because I assumed Ryan would have them.
And that's one of them.
12 Angry Men is on there because that's one of the first ones that came to mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big classic movie guy, but I do like that movie. I saw the 97 one and it made me go watch the original. And the original is really, really good. I mean, the 97 one might be good now. It wasn't for me at the time, but... it's such a good movie, and it's 100% in the same location. Like, there's a shot in the courtroom.
Yeah, it's another one of those establishing things. But I feel like, especially for the last three, they were so easy because they were layups, and they all did absolutely conform to what we wanted to do. And, I mean, there was another Sidney Lumet movie that was sort of almost made it, Dog Day Afternoon, but that one, because it takes place in the bank. It's a bank robbery. But spoiler alert, they get out of the bank and they go to rob the bank. I mean, that one, I guess I could have played with it five.
I mean, that's how that kind of leads into my next one. My number two, there's stuff setting up before it and there's a little bit after. And during it, there's some scenes outside, but your main characters are all stuck in a radio station. It's Airheads. This one, maybe I bit the rules a little bit, but it's Brendan Fraser, Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi want their band, the Lone Rangers, to be played on the radio. So they break into the radio station and hold everybody hostage until they play them. And even though there are scenes outside, there's a lot of, like Chris Farley goes to a con, there's scenes outside, it still gets that, it manages to jump back and forth, and you still get that claustrophobic feel of being in a hostage situation. Which, for something that jumps, that's why I added it. That's why I let it, even though it does bend the rules a little bit, because when it's in the radio station, those scenes are done really, really well for a dumb comedy. I mean, it is a dumb comedy, but it does carry over that claustrophobic feel of being held hostage by idiots with water guns. And I mean, for the most part, it's in that radio station.
And I'm sure that it is 100% because of this movie that it is so difficult for me to get to work on a daily basis, because as a result of Airheads, there's so many security protocols just to get inside a radio station nowadays.
Ironically, Brendan Fraser is working security guard at a radio station.
Right now, probably, yeah.
But I think that was a fun movie, and maybe I bent the rules and got loose with them, but I think I could justify
it. So that was your number two, was Airheads.
Yeah.
This is a good episode when my number two is 12 Angry Men and yours is Airheads. I can't wait to find out what movie you put above Airheads. Above 12 Angry Men, this is absolutely the first one that came to mind. I know I've put it on a list of something else before. I don't know what. I don't care. I try as hard as I can not to mention a movie multiple times, which is sometimes why I leave off obvious ones. But I kind of felt like already doing two Hitchcock movies, you can't not put Rear Window on. So that had to be my number one from 1954, starring Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly. The entire movie spent with Jimmy Stewart in his apartment. I think he's recuperating for some kind of a leg injury. He's just kind of looking out across the street at the adjacent apartment building. And he thinks that he sees a guy kill his wife. He can't do anything about it. He doesn't have any proof, so he calls the cops. They don't believe him. So he enlists Grace Kelly to actually go over there and start snooping around for clues. And this one, I wanted to put Rope ahead of it because I feel like I've seen Rope more recently, so I feel like the suspense is fresher. But, I mean, there are, you know, instances when, you know, Grace Kelly is not an imposing person. She goes over, essentially he sends her to a murderer's house. It's done so well. You see from Jimmy Stewart's perspective, you know, the murderer get home and you think, oh my God, he's going to catch her and want to know why he's, you know, she's digging around in his apartment. She's going to get killed too and he's going to have to watch. It's really good.
And I understand that, like, this and Rope obviously came right to mind, and then Lifeboat later. So I wouldn't have been shocked if you had three Hitchcocks on your list. And you did.
And I did.
This one's like,
I love Hitchcock.
And that's kind of why my top five, like, our lists are very, very different.
That's why you had to put Airheads.
I had to put Airheads. I tried to go a little more out there because I knew yours would be the classic good ones, because when you first...
I could not.
I
know. Being me, I could not do it.
When you first hear it, I don't think, just as a listener, because when you first hear movies that take place in one location, it might sound kind of difficult, but as you think about it, I ended up stop thinking them up because I had 20 movies that I thought were worthy of being in my top five. So, I mean, it's because it can go back to the 40s. Like, it's a genre that's been, not really a genre, it's a subgenre, I guess. Not even that, but it's something that's been done for so long.
And for various reasons, either budgetary or the story, you know, based off a play. And plays are done, again, that's a budgetary thing because they don't have money to make a bunch of sets.
And when you pull it off, everything's set there for it to be great. And a lot of them, like the ones Ryan mentioned, you know, Airheads, these are all-time classics for a reason. And a lot of it is because of what you're, you know.
Because of Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. So, I mean, my number one, it's kind of two movies. It's not a tie. It's just either one of them work. They both share a title. It all takes place in one house at a funeral.
House and House 2, the second story.
Death at a Funeral. The original and the black one.
With Wash.
Yeah. Yeah, the original with Wash and then the remake with James Marsden.
No, yeah.
It's so funny. The remake is so close to the original with funny people. Like, I mean, it's Tracy Morgan, it's Chris Rock, it's Danny Glover is funny in it. So, I mean, you have a funny cast remaking a funny movie, and it's almost shot for shot, almost. So, I mean, I put them, they're both really, really good. I like Alan Tudyk in that role more than James Marsden, but he surprised me. This was before I liked Marsden.
This was before the Channing Tatum the turn on Marsden.
Yeah. So, but it's just a funny movie, and I don't think enough people saw the original, and I think a lot of people skipped on the remake. They're really funny, and I mean, it takes place at a funeral. Like, it's not the best setting for a comedy, but it's hilarious. There's so many. What both of them did so well is their ensemble pieces. Martin Lawrence was in the remake. Like, they're ensemble comedies, and the cast in both of them are good, and the moments are funny. The laughs are legitimate laughs, even though they're all at a funeral. Peter Dinklage is in both of them, and it's just, they're really funny movies and set all in one house.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the few times when I can actually say that I liked the remake almost as much, or maybe as much as I liked the original, because they are so close, but they don't feel derivative. It's not like, boy, I just wasted my 2 hours watching essentially what I've already seen shot for shot. It's not like Funny Games. Does seem
let
derivative.
Let Me In, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it comes down to the cast. Both casts were so good that, yeah, Alan Tudyk, Naked on the Roof, is hilarious. Marsden pulled it off. Danny Glover crapping on Tracy Morgan's hand. That's just funny. Like, that's, Tracy Morgan can pull that off. And it's just, the cast, it comes down. And because those are all funny people. Martin Lawrence, Tracy Morgan, Chris Rock. Like, the casting on both of them. Was it a necessary remake? Probably not. But it was made for a different audience. And they're both really funny. And different enough that you can watch. Like, I enjoy both of them. So that's our top five movies that take place in one location. My list is a little different than yours.
They were set up to be like that. There's really nothing you could do about it. But you mentioned you had a bunch of also-rans. I'm interested to find out what your honorable mentions were.
I had obvious. I broke them down into categories. This is obvious ones I left off. Just movies we've talked a lot about.
Yeah.
Die Hard. Die Hard, I think, is perfect for this.
Yeah, if you want to take, I mean, to me, one building was a little too big.
Kinda. I didn't know
how. I mean, it's the roof. It's,
yeah, I
different
mean, it's,
floors.
But it's one location. And then I put Sunshine and Moon on there just in case.
Yeah.
In case you used
spaceships.
I needed them to get mentioned. A couple others. I didn't know where you would go with them. These are Join 12 Angry Men and all the Hitchcock ones. I left off because there was a chance Ryan would use them.
Right.
Clerks.
Yeah.
Mallrats.
Yeah.
And Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs. I mean, that was another one with the flashbacks. I was like, question mark?
But for the most part,
yes,
it's all in one
spot.
In
that warehouse, sure. Clerks specifically, I left off just because I've talked about it before. And
yeah.
Sometimes I feel like, what do I need to tell somebody about Clerks? Nothing. On the same hand, what do I need to tell people about 12 Angry Men? I mean, I feel like maybe less people have seen 12 Angry Men than have seen Clerks.
I understand your reasoning there, but sometimes it's hard for me to go through a list without at least mentioning them, because I try to think of what are the obvious ones people are going to email and think, like,
why didn't
you
do
didn't
this?
Think of Clerks?
Yeah.
No, we did. We just didn't feel like talking about it.
Right. I mean, we've talked about it before. And I think that the more we do these lists, I think the more people will realize that if there is one that's obviously glaring that we left out, there's probably a reason. I mean, maybe we forgot, but a movie like Clerks or a movie like Reservoir Dogs, We left them out because we figure you've seen them and we've talked about them enough. Do you have any other ones?
Honorable mention. These are just straight up honorable mention. I mentioned Pontypool. Donkey Punch, mostly on that one.
Yeah, on the boat.
Clue.
Yeah.
All in that one house. One of the first ones that came to mind, Panic Room.
Yeah.
All one house. Suicide Kings, which I mentioned. Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And then one of the first ones that came to mind, but it's been so long since I've seen it. I think it's similar to The Ref in how much of it takes place in one house. Desperate Hours with Mickey Rourke and Elias Koteas, and where they just basically hold a family hostage. And I don't it's been so long since I've seen it. I mean, I saw it in theaters when it came out in 1990, but it's Mickey Rourke, Elias Koteas holding up Anthony Hopkins and his family and Mimi Rogers. I mean, it's an awesome cast. It kind of got panned at the time, but it's a cool movie. I don't remember how much of it actually took place in the one house. In my mind, most of it did, but it's been so long since I've seen it, I couldn't justify using it.
There were a couple that I feel like were obvious that were horror that I didn't put on there. One of them was Night of the Living Dead. Most of it does take place in that farmhouse.
Because that, Cabin Fever.
Yeah, Cabin Fever would be another one. Cube is one that maybe that fits, maybe it doesn't. There were two other ones that came to mind. One, I took off my list because I don't feel like it takes place enough in the office building or the specific sales office that I think that it does. It was Glengarry Glen Ross. I mean, I know they have, there's a lot of scenes at the bar next door. There's most of it is in, you know, their actual real estate office building, but there are a couple of scenes at some different houses. So I left that off because I think there's just a little too many scene changes. And the other one, relatively recent, actually last year, when I was thinking about Lifeboat, I thought about Life of Pi. You know, there are scenes, quite a few scenes. You know, he gets to an island at one point, and there is all the setup to him getting on the raft. But primarily, the movie takes place with him on the raft in the middle of the ocean. I mean, there's obviously, you know, kind of exposition that takes place.
And that's why I wanted to say primarily.
Yeah.
Because something like, I didn't want us to tie ourselves to do all movies like Buried.
Sure.
Which, yeah, they have a place. That would be a much harder list to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's 100% in the box.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, like, we did mention Carnage, which that's 100% in one room. Pontypool fits. That's 100% in the studio. So, I mean, we still could have done it. It would have been a lot more work. Or even something like Titanic.
Or a lot more crossover. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much on the boat.
Or Disturbia.
Well, if we did Rear Window, I guess we could do Disturbia, too.
But, yeah, that's our favorite movies that take place in primarily one location. I went with favorite. Ryan, there was a lot more of what movies are best on his list.
No, I mean, those are my favorites, too. I mean,
I know,
I'll be
honest. I understand
honest.
That, but, that's... like, when we do these lists, that's why I don't like calling them best, because they are favorite. Like,
right.
And because my list is way different than yours. Like, if you... yours would make sense if it had a best of list ahead of it. Mine wouldn't. Is Airheads better than Rear Window? No. If I'm sitting down to watch a movie, would I rather watch Airheads than Rear Window? Maybe.
Yes, just admit it. Just say yes.
Depending on the day. But so that was our discussion for this week. Check out our news episode earlier in the week. If you're new to Movies on Up, we do a news episode early in the week, a discussion episode later in the week. Next week we have... oh, we're going to watch Sound of My Voice.
Yeah, you sounded like you really... next week we have...
yeah, I was confident.
I can't remember. Sell it, though.
But before we leave, we always try to give a bonus watch this. And on our discussion episodes, we try to keep them themed. So this week, we're going to give you a watch this bonus. A movie with house in the title.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, because I always... whenever I come up with these themes... I did it the first few episodes where I was taking the movies I knew you would take.
Yeah.
I stopped doing it, and the last three of them, I've been 100% dead on my first guess is what you've ended up picking.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Because that's not what movie I'm taking. There was a long time when we would do these lists, and Dave would never put anything in. I don't know if he didn't want me to take it or
what? I never think just, of them until.
Okay. But Dave will look. I don't really do too much on the outlines anymore. But Dave will look at them when I do change things. And I know he's looking. So I specifically put House 2, the second story, because I know it would piss him off. That's the only reason I did it.
That's what I assumed you would pick.
And I succeeded. But I'm not doing that. What I am doing shouldn't be a surprise to anybody either. Again, it's kind of an old movie. It's from 1971. And if there are, I like Hitchcock. Okay. I also am a sucker for anthology horror movies. And that's exactly what this is. It's called The House That Dripped Blood. It's got Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing. That should be all you need. Hammer films of that time, they either had Christopher Lee or Peter Cushing. If you were lucky enough to get them both, then double your pleasure, double your fun. And that's exactly what this did. I don't know if I just have a fondness for the genre, but I think it's kind of a fun movie. It's a bit hokey, a bit corny, because again, I mean, it was late 60s, early 70s. So does it hold up real, real well? No, maybe not. But I think it's kind of just a fun, nostalgic anthology horror movie that I don't think a lot of people have probably seen.
I also went with a fun classic. If you listen, Ryan likes Hitchcock. If you listen closely enough, I love me some Kid and Play. So I went with House Party, which I think is a really fun movie. Like, it's just the second one, Pajama Jam, had its moments.
So
had its moments. Better than the third one, and then the VH1 fourth one. But I think House Party, it's just a lot of. It was Project X before Project X. I mean, it was just these kids wanting to throw a house party, and it was a lot of fun. And I don't know what it is. There was something about Kid and Play that I really loved their chemistry and how it translated onto the screen. And they were a perfect kind of odd couple, I guess, but just everything about, I really liked Kid and Play, and I legitimately, unironically love House Party.
And the one dude obviously doing pretty well for himself, he's going to be drafted by the Cavs. Number one, right?
I hope not.
Yeah, me too. Did we actually mention our next week?
Sound of my voice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I remember we were kind of going that way,
yeah,
but I don't remember.
I came up with it.
Okay.
But if we missed anything, if there's any movies, we mentioned a lot.
We did.
Of our list, that's probably the one that we mentioned the most of.
There's had no good, crossover.
Probably a good 40 movies we mentioned there.
There's a few.
Yeah, so... if we happen to miss any, if you have movies that take place primarily one location, send them to us. MoviesOnUp.com, MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, Twitter, @MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. If you're looking for new ways to listen to us, you can get everything just on the website. We're also on iTunes. You can leave us an iTunes review while you're there. And we're on Stitcher. We at least have a couple people that listen on Stitcher, so shout out to them. But
by name, if we could, or yeah. We would. What?
So, hit us up. That's Movies on Up. And until next week, we'll see you early next week with a news episode followed by Sound of My Voice later in the week. Till then.
Keep it up.